All right, let's just start with a prayer, please. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we invite you to calm our hearts. Ask the Holy Spirit to please be present here with us. And give me any words that he would like for me to speak, and any words that the men present here need to hear. Pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, so like Jordan said, my name is JP Chauvin. I'm coming up on 4 years of being in Regnum Christi, and it's really been just a blessing in my life to have so many men contribute to my formation. And so to be here, to be able to give a talk is really a blessing, and I'm really just thankful for the opportunity to be here and to share with you guys hopefully something that's valuable. But today we're going to be talking about, or I'm going to be talking about, root sin and just kind of discerning it and what we are called to do as Catholics, so that it'll help us on our pursuit towards heaven. So I remember, being 7 years old and, going through my first reconciliation prep, and you learn about mortal and venial sin and the differences between the two. And whenever you're 7, you don't really care. It just kind of seems like, okay, this is bad, and then this is really bad. So if you're kind of hazy on those details, mortal sin is that sin that's of grave matter. So it's very serious, and you need to know that it is serious. You know that it's wrong, and you do it willingly anyway. So you do it freely out of your own will. You can't be coerced into performing a mortal sin. But so young in age that I start to learn like distinguishing between sins and we're categorizing them. And so now we have root sin. And so it can be kind of raising a question of why does it matter? Like, why do we need to care? We already have mortal sin and root sin as Catholic, mortal sin and venial sin as Catholic. So why do we have to add another one as root sin? And it's really a blessing that we have different distinctions between sins, because it helps us to organize a more effective prayer life, and it helps us on our way to our pursuit towards heaven. So the Catechism says in paragraph 1852, the root of sin is in the heart of man, in his free will, according to the teaching of the Lord, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. And further on, I'll give a couple more paragraphs from the Catechism, but I want to note that this doesn't mean that we're inherently evil. But rather, we're just kind of working on locating where is the root of sin. Throughout this talk, I want to kind of get away from the tendency whenever we talk about sin to obsess over it and define it and define every little aspect of it, because it's not good for us to obsess over sin and to kind of mull over sin, because it takes our hearts and our minds away from God really easily. Now, in paragraph 1853, it says, sins can be distinguished according to their objects, as can every human act, or according to the virtues they oppose by excess or defect, or according to the commandments they violate. So this is kind of more in the definitional version of sin, where we start to get into, okay, labeling certain sins, you know, having just the names of these sins as pride and vanity or lust and impatience and all of these that we know and we're very familiar with. But coming back to this doesn't mean we're inherently evil. It's just where the root of sin is. Oh, I forgot to mention too. paragraph 1854 starts to get into the distinguish between mortal sin and venial sin. And so if that's something that you need to brush up on, read it. Because we should all be familiar with the differences between them, and we should really learn to grow as men in discernment of what is going on in the innermost beings of my heart. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today with root sin. It's not simply another way of defining it, but it's an opportunity to take a step in our spiritual journey, another way to respond to the love that our Lord has for us, that he's extended to us, by discerning what is the root and the cause of most sin in our lives. So, as I mentioned before, we're going to be talking about discernment in the most interior rooms of your heart, shining the light of truth on these sometimes purposefully forgotten areas. And I mean that seriously, because as men, often, whenever we have faults, and all of us have faults, and we make mistakes, we're often embarrassed by them, and we don't really want to face them. We kind of want to face, like, the surface level of what's going on, but not really get into the interior room of my heart where I look at, why is this happening? And this is the whole point of root sin, is to look at why. Later on we'll hear more of kind of defining it, but really looking at shining the light of truth on the forgotten areas of our heart. It's not good to obsess over sin. I just have to repeat that over and over through the talk, because whenever I first heard a talk on root sin, I found that the next month all of my prayer was on just root sin, and it was just on sin and sin, and I did not look at Christ as much as I should have. So as we're going through the talk, I encourage you, don't try to figure out what your root sin is while I'm giving the talk, because I'm going to list like a few of them. Okay, these are the root sins. And it's going to be very tempting, because men, we love solving problems. And so we're going to try to define, okay, what's the problem in my life while the kind of talk is still going on? And I'm going to provide you guys with prompts and questions to discern that, to think about that, to pray with, okay, what is my root sin? So just sit tight. We're going to get to it when we get to it. And then second disclaimer, I forgot I have a clicker. Yeah, that is a definition. We need accompaniment through this. So St. Ignatius of Loyola, who came up with spiritual exercises, or by the grace of God, he came up with spiritual exercises, requires a director, a spiritual director, to help discern God's voice from the evil spirit when diving into the very innermost movements in your heart. And I'll kind of share some of, like, okay, you know, where do we find a spiritual director? That can kind of seem aimless. But the point is, we need accompaniment as we discern, especially as we're discerning where our root faults are, because we're very prone to temptation and we're very prone to messing things up. And so while this is a really good opportunity to grow in friendship with Christ, because we're going to be identifying where those faults are, what's keeping us from Christ the most, what's the root of these problems, it's also a really it's a really big opportunity for the enemy as well to work in our hearts. Because, well, maybe not work in our hearts, but to tempt us to fall off the path and to fall into a cycle of more of shame and more of guilt and more of the obsessing over sin rather than using this for what it's supposed to be used for. So I'm going to use this as an opportunity to plug making a daily examine, because we might not think of accompaniment whenever it comes to a daily examine, but a daily examine is the first foundational thing we have to do to really grow in developing a sense of, okay, where is my root sin? It helps us to look at something so small, like 24 hours, just our day, and to find where am I falling short, and where am I not acting in accordance with God's will? And Jordan's going to talk more on the specific topic of of, sorry. Yeah. Of a personal examine in May. But let's get into what we're discerning. So what is root sin? Root sin, if you've ever heard, we're getting at the root of a problem. That's basically what root sin is. It's the predominant fault we have. Often many of our other faults follow after it or are caused by it. So for simplicity's sake today, we're going to say there's three categories, so to speak, of root sin: pride, vanity, and sensuality. Oftentimes people say, like, root sin, you can also pull from the seven deadly sins. That's perfect. You can do that if you like. For today, I would just want to dive into three categories of root sin and use these three and not have to go through all seven, because that's a lot, right? So pride manifests itself when we seek our self-worth and security in our own abilities, strengths, or traits. And I love this disclaimer. We find our security in our own strengths, real or perceived strengths. Vanity is the excessive concern for and seeking our security in how we are perceived by others. Sensuality is seeking our security and self-worth in possessions, comfort, or avoidance of discomfort. And I kind of pull these from 1 John 2:16. I think I put that up here. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And I think a highlight moment of the definitions that I provided is that each of these root sins all have to do with where we find our security from. This goes back to the Garden of Eden in the first sin, in the fall, where Adam and Eve try to place their security in themselves and break the link of trust with God. It's important that all sin is inherently just a distrust of God. So each one of these, first pride, we find the security in our own strengths, and vanity, the security comes from others and what other people think of us, and sensuality, the security comes from an avoidance of discomfort, of just comfort in general. And it's important to note, we as fallen humans, they're all three present in our lives, which can make it difficult to discern which one is the main one, but usually one predominates, and identifying that one is what we want to do. So we don't want to just kind of throw our hands up and say, well, I'm sinful, and so I just need to repent, and then all will be well. But we know there's a lot more to the battle and the pursuit of heaven than this. We need to get a little bit more specific in discerning in our own life. So concretely, how will we do this? Like I said before, a daily examine is a crucial place to start, going through at the end of the day, preferably, and starting with an invocation to the Holy Spirit. I stress starting with an invocation to the Holy Spirit, because at times it's really easy to start an examine at the end of the day, and we start out, and we just immediately jump into, okay, I woke up this morning, and I didn't really want to get out of bed, but I had to get out of bed and get to work. And then work was just, you know, 9 to 5, so nothing really happened there. And we start before we even really begin and pray an invocation prayer to the Holy Spirit, right? Ask for accompaniment, even if it's not a spiritual director helping you with your daily examine. We still need accompaniment because we're likely to fall into sin. That's why we have to have the talk anyway, right? We're likely to fall into sin. So we start there with a daily examine, and we build from there into getting a spiritual director, where you can have not only the Holy Spirit accompanying you, but also a spiritual director accompanying you and helping point you towards where the root sin might be. Because from this predominant fault, we want to counteract the predominant fault with virtue. And we want to counteract it with the virtue that corresponds with it, so that we're really getting things done and we're not just stressing virtues that come naturally to us and are very easy, but we're also developing virtues that directly be out of our lives a predominant fault where other faults will stem from. So I'm going to provide a list for you guys. I have some questions here. And there are just some prompts. I'll read some of them now. We'll hand them out after so that you guys can use them in your silent prayer. But some of them to get an idea of it is to what do my thoughts naturally tend? What are the preoccupations of my heart? And later on, when I have knowingly sinned or disobeyed God, what was the sin or what was my motivation to sin? And I think this is huge because root sin isn't always easy to locate. It's not as if I cuss a lot, so my root sin is cursing. But we kind of need to dig deeper than that. In fact, like in my own life, I can tell you, I get really impatient whenever I drive. So whenever I drive, I end up verbally abusing the other drivers in the car, and it's not good. But that doesn't mean that my root sin is impatience. And it's not impatience. The root of my sin is actually, if we kind of follow along the way, is my impatience comes from the fact that I think that everyone else driving and the way that they're driving, they're either going too slow or too fast, and they're hindering my plan and where I need to be because my plan and my day is more important than everybody else's on the road. And so, and I think we've all had the part where we're driving and you're going really slowly and maybe just the speed limit, right? And somebody else is like flies by and you're like, where is he gotta go in a hurry? And then the next day you're driving, you're flying down and people are going slow and you're like, nobody cares about my plan for my day. But this is what I mean whenever I say like, it can be kind of difficult to work with what we have because sometimes it's not very clear. And in fact, kind of trailing impatience back to pride and myself, that was something that I did with a spiritual director. I had the help of somebody asking me some of the prompts that I have here of like, what was the motivation though? Like, it's great to pray when you get in the car to have patience, but if patience is just a byproduct of the real cause and the real root of the problem, which is pride that you think, or I guess that I think, I deserve to have my time respected by everybody on the road. Yeah, we need to dig deeper in that. So the list of questions I have, do it preferably in adoration because we need a quiet place. And like I said before, do it prayerfully. Ask the Holy Spirit to accompany you. And whenever you're doing your daily examines, as all of us are doing, our daily examines every single day because we're all great men. That's sarcasm, by the way, because I know most of us don't do our daily, nightly examine. And it's a problem. Like, we really need to. We really need to grow in that. Because if we don't even know what we're after, if we don't even know where the enemy's working in our life, like, how are we going to grow? How are we ever going to actually pursue heaven? Like, it's great to keep our eyes on our Lord. And it's great to receive the sacraments daily if we can. But also, like, we have to understand where is the root of all the sin in my life. And then also, as you're doing this, I encourage you, be simple. So a lot of the questions, they're simple questions. They're not complicated questions. I think the biggest word has three syllables max. So the point is not to confuse yourself. The enemy's already going to be trying to confuse you. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're going after. Every time that Satan sees you go in the chapel, it's like, get ready for war. Like, it's war. And so whenever we discern or whenever we are in war, the easiest thing to do is to be very simple. Very, very simple. The less moving parts to what we're doing, the better. And being very direct with ourselves. So as I'm discerning being impatient in traffic, I don't try to link it somehow to sensuality, but I just follow very directly, okay, what's the problem that I feel? Why am I getting angry at somebody? Pretty easy question to answer. So be simple. And then lastly, move forward. Right? I said earlier, don't obsess. Whoops, one more. Back. Don't obsess over the sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22-24 says, you must give up your old way of life. You must put aside your old self, which gets corrupted by following illusory desires. Your mind must be renewed by a spiritual revolution so that you can put on the new self that has been created in God's way, in the goodness and holiness of the truth. Right, Paul urges us to move forward. Don't obsess over your sin. It's crucial that we know where the root of all of our sins come from, but don't obsess over it. Remember, the reason for learning about the root sin and kind of discerning it is our sanctification, is our pursuit of heaven. It's not to sit and ponder or wallow in self-pity with our sin. Our Lord didn't die for you to mope in your sin. Our Lord didn't die for us to obsess over sin. But he died that we may have life and life to the fullest. And so what we do next is we game plan. We have a battle plan. In RC, a lot of men call it the program of life. That was the wrong button. Where we concentrate on four pillars to our lives. So the four pillars are spiritual life, human life, intellectual life, and apostolic life. Spiritual life is pretty clear, pretty pertinent, right? Sacraments, prayer, daily examine. Human life, though, is maintaining, actually, honestly, really kind of your physical appearance and your physical health, right? Going to the gym, not eating trash, right? Taking care of the bodies that our Lord has given us. Intellectual life is really crucial as men, because if we are to lead others, which we are all called to do, we're called to lead either our families, our spouses, or siblings, or whomever, just fellow Catholics and Christians, it's important that we're founded on solid intellectual principles. It's great and it's very important that we have great faith, and it's also very important that we're intellectually sound, right? Read a book every once in a while. Learn something new. Have principles that you live your life by. And lastly, apostolic life. To be sent, to go into the world and to change the world, to bring Christ to the world, to bring the gospel to the world. And we use these four pillars to kind of organize ourselves, right? We love organization. And what I encourage you is, whenever you've sort of finished discerning your root sin and you've met with a director, you've prayed in the chapel, and you've worked with some of these prompts, and you feel pretty guided and you feel pretty sound on which sin is your root sin, I encourage you, develop the corresponding virtues in each of these four areas of your life. Right? So developing prayer, and maybe it's just asking for the graces to develop the virtues. But whenever it comes to your apostolic life, like, how are you living your life publicly and developing virtues that counteract these sins? So what are some of the corresponding virtues that we have for pride? Top two, humility and justice, right? So seeing yourself how God sees you, having a true sense of who you are and your identity. Justice, really, to each his due. Vanity, truthfulness. Let's see if I can say this one. Magnanimity, yeah. Which is really just like the prudent pursuit of God and of heaven, right? You're pursuing heaven and you're pursuing God out of the goodness of the pursuit and out of love for God, for no other reason, not because, you know, somebody else is weighing down on you that you have to, but you're doing it out of love. Temperance and chastity for the virtues corresponding to sensuality. And I also have a chart that have more sins that, or sorry, more virtues that correspond to the root sin, and they actually do have more sins on them. The chart also has spawn sins for where pride might manifest itself in our life, for where vanity might manifest itself in your life. So for pride, I don't think it's on there, but like impatience would have been a great one, right? Because that would have helped me out and it would have saved me some time. But I give you these two handouts, right, to pray with. And hopefully you don't need them for very long, because you should be able to pray with this and to meet with a director. I also plugged and said earlier spiritual exercises. Really just the ultimate place to discern. The ultimate place to encounter our Lord and to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and having a director to help you along the way. The original exercises, it's like 4 weeks long. Most of us probably don't have the time to take off 4 weeks from everything. So there's a lot of weekend retreats that also happen. In Louisiana, we're really blessed. We have like three retreat houses that I can think of off the top of my head that run retreats, especially spiritual exercises, regularly. And they're all about like an hour and a half away. So it's really, we have like no excuse to make that step. So spiritual direction, legionaries all offer spiritual direction. So Father Michael, often a lot of parish priests I found too are also starting to offer spiritual direction. You might have to ask them for it. But I used to have spiritual direction with a parish priest. I have spiritual direction with a legionary now. So I cannot emphasize how important that is to actually discerning well in your life where your root sin is. Spiritual exercises covered that. And then the Thomistic Institute, this is just where I pulled a lot of the information from. And there's going to be some QR codes for that sort of thing. But if I could have a couple of guys come up and we can hand these out, that would be great. And you can split those up. And these two. And these are some of the charts. Let me grab that side of it. Thank you. So these are the questions and the chart, like I mentioned earlier. I just encourage you, do it prayerfully. Don't rush. Be simple with yourself. Take it to prayer, invoke the Holy Spirit whenever you start, and meet with a director about it, right? And then consistently meet with a director, right? Once a month is the preferable amount of time to meet with a director, because it helps to have somebody who can check in with you and who can really help guide you. But always to remember, daily we need to be praying our examen. It's how we practice, it's how we get better at discerning the major things in our life. And then lastly, whenever you've found this root sin and you've located it, then move forward. Develop a strategy, right? Develop practices that can really help build the virtues that correspond to that root sin, so that you may grow. And you can keep your eyes on Christ. You can gaze at Christ while you glance at the problems. You glance at the root sin in your life. Thank you all.